listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
What the hell happened? All you had to do was throw a piece of paper out the door. You couldn't even get it out the door. You're one of those guys who couldn't hit the side of a barn.
Hey, AKC Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
This is episode 30, part
3.
The heavy metal episode.
Heavy metal episode. Oh, my God.
No, so was that lefty or what? What was going on in there?
It was righty, but I was trying to hit the mute buttons at the same time. And I was like, eh. It was a balled up piece of paper 5 feet.
And the reason John's doing that is because we can no longer see each other.
That's right.
We're in a new studio, and I can't see John to give the hand signal for when I can go, ah, ah. So I suggested he throw a piece of paper out the door, and he couldn't even do that. I think it bounced off the doorknob and went back in the room. I just caught it out of the corner of my eye.
You saw it, though. Right?
I did see it, yeah. Was that it? Yeah, it had to be it. What else could be?
We're getting down here, though. We're partying. We're doing some partying. I did some partying over the weekend.
You did? Where?
It wasn't real partying.
Oh.
It was with the family. We went in the city.
In the Chi-Town.
Down in the Chi-Town, yeah. Getting down in Chi-Town.
What does Pauly B say about Chi-Town?
Or a bunch of wankers?
The cunt of the... I don't know. He sang a song and he said...
The cunt of the United States of America?
Like, I don't know. Oh, and it just goes to prove Pauly B doesn't listen to our show because episode 29, part 3.
Yeah.
I made some comments about Pauly B and Tony Hearn, and no response about those comments, which proves they don't listen to our podcast.
Hey, you fuck face.
You mean this one?
No. About how I'm using Carolina I'm Senator, using Tony Hearn to get
Democratic
to Paul B.
Oh, right.
John Edwards.
Did you say Democrapip? Democrapic?
I don't know. I might have.
You got to check that out. Anybody's listening right now, you got to check out the 29.3 Cliff Notes.
Now it's 0.3, huh? if you go to our homepage, you can find 29 part 3, the Cliff Notes.
Yeah, 29:3. Sorry, that's what I meant.
Colon. Yeah, that's better. Colon. And that'll get you caught up.
Colon. Like Colin Powell.
Well, John, before we get to the W, you were telling me about your going downtown. What happened? You went downtown. You took the family downtown to Chi-Town. What was the occasion?
Yeah, me, our first guest, Joe, the wife, the kids, his son, some friends down the street, Republican, voted for Bush, went with him and his wife and his two daughters. And it was the lighting of the Magnificent Mile.
Hmm.
What an effing nightmare.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the very end that I really had a good time. Oh.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We take the train down there. We take a trolley to Water Tower. And we ended up going to the grill at the Westin for lunch, which was about a $230 lunch.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we all had lobster bisque.
Nice.
For lunch.
Even the kids?
Yeah. A couple of the kids had some lobster bisque. My daughter did. And Joe's son and I forget who else. Yeah, one of the other little girls. So we had a couple beers, and we went to Water Tower, and my son freaked out because of the height. You know, in the center, there's a big glass elevator.
Right,
and he freaks out.
Really?
Does not want to get on it. And
he freaked out before the elevator even went up?
Yeah. And then the wife says, okay, I'll take him up the escalator. We took the elevator. He freaked out on the escalator.
Well, that's scary, too.
Yeah. So then she had to talk him into it and finally got him up there. And I'm dressed for outside, you know, thinking it's going to be windy and cold. So I got the, you know, the big sweatshirt on and the jacket and everything. And I'm sweating and I'm like, why are we inside? And one of the women decides to go shopping for a shirt. And then my wife decides to tangle the food court. And the food court there is a nightmare. You walk in, they give you this like swipeable card. And then you go around to these different places and buy stuff, and they swipe your card. And then when you get done, as you're leaving, they swipe your card and tell you how much you owe.
Sounds like a good idea.
Well, it is a good idea for them, because you don't know that it's not plastic, it's not money, it's not currency.
Oh, it's just this bogus thing they gave me.
Yeah, you're just going, wahoo, just swipe it away. You don't know how much it costs. Well, actually, the prices are there, but you don't like calculate it in your head, like when you pull out money,
right?
You know, and you
if
go
it's
to
your own green,
yeah, and you go or you do use a credit card at one place, but you're going to multiple places. Oh, some fries here, some this, blah, blah, whatever. And but it's the most crowded day ever. There's a million or more people there to see this goddamn parade, which is the lighting festival. Mickey Mouse comes down the street in this big Disney parade, and he points at trees as he goes along, and they light up with little white Italian lights.
Wow.
It's very magical.
What about Santa?
Santa comes at the end.
Nice. Rudolph?
So, Rudolph? Yeah, I think Rudolph. No, Rudolph isn't with them. He's just kind of cruising in this, like, Santa mobile.
Right.
And so, you know, we hang there, and I'm dying, and I'm really pissed off, and we got to hoof it back to Pioneer Park, and that's like about a mile. It is the Magnificent Mile. It's the entire thing. We finally make it there. We're tired, and we're late. We missed the last Disney show. We missed out on all the free crap from all the vendors there. And so we had to line up for the parade, and we did. And basically, it starts at 6, and we're at the very end of it because at the river there is where they shoot the fireworks off. And so we get there, and we want to be by the fireworks. So we line up for the parade an hour before it starts. So we're there at about 5 o'clock. And the parade starts at 6, but it's not going to get to us till about 6:55.
Mm.
So we're sitting there for like 2 hours, and finally the parade gets there. It's going along, and Santa comes around the corner, and the fireworks start, and everybody turns away from Santa Claus. So he's basically cruising down the street. Nobody's even paying attention to him. And it was the best goddamn fireworks show I have seen in a long time. I got it on video. A cheap video, you know, with like a Canon camera. Mm-hmm. You know, those Canon digital cameras, right. Little tiny ones.
Well, let's post it.
They got video on it. And I was able to get a bunch of clips of video. Actually, Joe took it, and I could see him dying with his arm holding up there, this little tiny camera. And it was the coolest effing show ever. And everything, my mood changed, and I was clicking my heels all the way home, goofing around on the train. Oh, we get on the train coming back, and this dude is sitting there up with us and all the kids. And the train's completely packed going home, and this dude's chugging a 40.
Nice.
He's pounding down a big, giant
in
glass
a brown
40.
No, paper bag.
He took it out. He's like... And we're all looking at him. And you know what I was thinking?
No.
Damn, I could use a 40 right now.
Nice cold.
If I could have snatched it out of his goddamn hand, I would have.
My cold, dead hands.
Oh, my God. It looks so damn good. But that's what I did over the weekend. I was so tired from the whole thing because we got there at like, you know, 10 o'clock. We started out at 10 o'clock. And didn't get home till about 9:30. So it's a long day.
Well, John, that reminds me, our next podcast, we have some homework. Do you remember what this is? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
The top five Christmas movies.
Oh, right.
Okay, so that'll be for next podcast.
Right.
Top five Christmas
top
movies.
Top five. Which reminds me.
And that reminds you of something.
I didn't get any soundboards of turkeys. Because it's Thanksgiving. By the time this gets up there, it'll be a couple days before Thanksgiving, and we're not having another one until after giving thanks.
After thanks of the giving.
After the thanks of the giving, we'll be back.
Now, we've talked about daylight saving time. And
saving?
Yeah, saving time.
How's that wine?
We were wrong about that. It is all over the world. I think Mark from Malta corrected on corrected us on that.
You're right,
now, man. But when we talk about Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is strictly an American holiday. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
They don't celebrate this in Europe or in Africa or South America.
They do, but it's different.
They celebrate Thanksgiving?
It's like a similar.
It's a similar
thing.
What are they? What is it?
They give thanks for other reasons.
But is it do they get Thursday and Friday off? I guess that's my question.
No, they do like a Monday or something.
A Monday. All right. Well, here in the States, we have Thursday, Friday off. Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we have a turkey and some stuffing and some mashed potatoes, and we get together with the family. And in some families, I found this out when I got married because I went to the in-laws' house, they have to actually say what they're thankful for at the dinner table.
What?
Yeah. So they have to go, like I had to do this last year.
Oh, no.
For the last 8 years, I had to do this.
Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts.
Right. So they say grace, and then everybody has to say what they personally are thankful for.
I'm thankful for all my money and my cars.
Well, that's not what I am
thankful for. I dropped my pen. Oh, darn it.
All right.
That's a great leather chair sound you got going there.
Oh, I found it.
Yeah. So, but this year I will not have to do that because we're going up to the Great North Woods for Thanksgiving with my family.
Oh.
In my family, we don't have to say that crap. But you know what I was thinking?
No.
I would say at the dinner table, you know what? We never do this. I think we should do this. Why don't we all go around the table and say what we're thankful for? And they'll be like, yeah, right. Cunt.
There's Thanksgiving in Canada. Canadians trace the holiday to a feast held by Martin Frobisher in Newfoundland in 1578.
Newfoundland?
Yeah. The first Thanksgiving Day in Cannes after Confederation was observed April 5th, 1872, to celebrate the recovery of the Prince of Wales, later King Edward VII, from a serious illness. Official records do not show that Thanksgiving was observed again until the year when Parliament declared Thanksgiving to be an annual national holiday to give thanks and ask for blessings for an abundant harvest. So Thanksgiving is all about, well, it did, you know, it didn't start in the U.S. It started, I believe, in the U.K., didn't it?
No, it couldn't have. It started in the U.S. when the Pilgrims came over and the Indians helped them out.
No.
And they had a Thanksgiving.
It's a bunch of crap. It's about Thanksgiving for a good harvest. Here it is.
Well, it's great that TTN did their research.
No, we have.
And we're right on top of it. Are you at Wikipedia?
Yeah.
All right, then.
The Pilgrims set apart a day for Thanksgiving at Plymouth immediately after their first harvest in 1621. The Massachusetts Bay Colony, for the first time in 1630, and frequently thereafter until about 1680, when it became an annual festival in that colony. And Connecticut, as early as 1639 and annually after 1647, except 1675. The Dutch...
All right, man, too much detail.
The Dutch in New Netherland appointed a day for giving thanks in 1644 and occasionally thereafter.
All right, so we were the first ones, the Americans, the Pilgrims, is what you just said.
No, this was Thanksgiving in the United States. So they're specific to the origin and the place of origin, meaning there probably is others. There are others, not, you know, Thanksgiving in the United States.
I see.
There must be others.
I see.
I said there was one in Canada.
All right. Mark from Malta and the new fan we have from Finland, email us and tell us if you have Thanksgiving or not. Because we do. And do you go around the table and have to say what you're thankful for? That's the big question.
Oh, here's the Thanksgiving timeline. May 23rd, 1541, Francisco Vasquez de Coronado and the Taya Indians have a feast in Palo Duro Canyon in Texas to celebrate his expedition's discovery of food supplies. Many people consider this the first true North American Thanksgiving. September 8th, 1565, Pedro Mendez in St. Augustine, and he and his men share a feast with the natives. Hello?
Hello.
You there?
Yeah, of course.
And then there's 1578, North American celebration.
It's all North American.
Yeah.
Where's Europe? Where's Africa? Where's Asia?
Africa.
They don't have Thanksgiving. Not like us, man. We're super cool.
No?
Super cool. I wonder if Paul B. and Tony Hearn, those wankers, have Thanksgiving. I doubt it. Those septics. Cocksuckers.
Here we go. Thanksgiving around the world, my friend. In China, the Chinese celebrate August Moon Festival that falls on the 15th day of 8th lunar month of the year, calendar year. Chinese believe that the moon is roundest and brightest on Scott's ass.
What month is that, man? The 8th month. Which month is that?
It's August.
All right, August. That's not Thanksgiving, man. Thanksgiving is in November, okay?
Our Thanksgiving, you knucklehead.
Ours is the best and the only Thanksgiving.
In Rome, the Roman Harvest Festival, known as Cerealia, was celebrated in the honor of the deity Ceres, god of corn.
The god of corn.
The goddess of corn. Their festival commenced in October 4th, and it was a custom to first produce fruits, grains, and animals to the goddess.
I think we've proven that the Romans, Egyptians, and Greeks were all wrong.
In
okay,
Brazil,
John? As far as Zeus, Apollo, the god of corn.
Well, you know, Christianity is a copy of Mithraism.
Mithraism, of course. Everybody knows that. Who doesn't know that?
You didn't know that?
No, I knew that.
Okay.
I'm saying, who doesn't know that? You'd be stupid if you didn't know that.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, let's move on from this Thanksgiving topic, which we've, I can't even think of the expression to use.
I love when everybody eats all the turkey and you lay around.
Yeah, and you fall asleep because the turkey's got the
tryptophan.
Yeah, no doubt.
Tryptophan.
I'm going to go take a nap now.
We always play like Cranium or something, and Beth's brother wins all the time because he's a genius.
Really?
Yeah, he studied like electron microbiology and all that shit.
Well, I play Cranium all the time, and I also win all the time. It's not because I'm a genius,
There's
though.
No way you win.
I win every time, and you know why?
Why is that?
Because I cheat.
How do you cheat in Cranium?
Well, I get accused of cheating. I don't think it's really cheating. You know when you have to put those little clay models together?
Yeah.
All right. So I had to put a shovel together, right? So I put this makeshift glob of clay together, but I did a shoveling motion with it, and I was accused of cheating. Which I didn't think was cheating. It doesn't say anything about being able to mold, how you can mold the clay.
That's pretty funny, man. Yeah, guess what I'm doing? Scott, make a dick.
Well, I would just do a hand gesture with
making a hot dog.
In conjunction with my tongue depressing on my inner cheek. And it would have to be synchronous, which I've practiced. So I'm very good at it. And I think I can post it on the website.
Synchronous.
Synchronous. Yes, very good.
I don't know if it's the way you say it.
Sounds all right, John. Well, let's get into the W.
Let's get into
I got some W. But before we get to W, let's get into Alito, who you Whoa. Call Scalito.
Scalito.
And Alito says, I'm wiser than when I fought abortion, John. Okay?
Oh, Budweiser.
Samuel Alito, who argued against abortion rights in 1985, was an advocate seeking a job. That's it. That's why he argued against abortion, because he just wanted a job, John. The current version of Alito thinks he is a wiser person with a better grasp and understanding of constitutional rights and liberties. At the same time, some anti-abortion groups warned Alito not to go too far if he hopes to retain their support.
Wow.
A nominee who is willing to take the seemingly mandated Roe oath, whereby they testify that it is set a law never to be overturned, is the type of justice worthy of pro-life support, said Stephen Perricotta. Alito was Bush's second choice, John. You remember he nominated Harriet Miters. But withdrew her withering criticism.
You sound like the W.
Liberals are now concerned that Alito and recently confirmed Justice John Roberts would swing the Supreme Court to the right and perhaps overturn the landmark 1993 Roe v. Wade decision that established abortion rights. And that is the right for a woman to go get an abortion.
Right.
If they overturn that, it would then be illegal for her to get an abortion, and our crime rates would skyrocket, John.
Yeah, according to Freakonomics.
Alito, who served for 15 years as a judge, and he worked on Capitol Hill, he said this on his 1985 application to be a deputy assistant attorney general. In the document, the younger Alito touted his work in the Solicitor General's office against abortion. Work, quote, in which I personally believe very strongly. All right, so let's hope that Alito does not get confirmed.
Oh, okay.
You can bet that they'll take the right of abortion away from women. They'll take that choice away from women. And the country will continue to go downhill after the W totally Fs it up.
Right.
Because he's in office for 8 years. No doubt. All right, John, let's get into the W. Are you ready for some W?
Sure.
Do you have the W clips ready? Now, this is the W speaking on Veterans Day. Veterans Day is when we honor the veterans of our country who served.
National interest is too important for politicians to throw out false charges. The war came to our shores on September the 11th, 2001. Some call this evil Islamic radicalism. Others, militant jihadism, and still others, Islamo-fascism.
Islamo-fascism.
And I'm going to post the video because you got to see the video. You got to see the chimp in action. Just the audio does not do it justice.
No, huh?
You got to see his beady eyes, you know, dart back and forth. You got to see him look down at his paper and try to comprehend what's on there and regurgitate that crap that he's spitting out.
You know, the sharper image sells a chimp. I was thinking of getting it.
They sell a chimp?
They sell a chimp. It's $150, and the eyes move, and the mouth moves.
Oh, it's not a real chimp.
No, but it's like a Hollywood copy, animatronic copy. The eyeball, it looks real. You got to see the thing, man. It looks totally real. And I thought we'd dress him up like in a president suit and put the presidential seal on him and just have him in our podcasts, you know, our mascot.
We got to do a video podcast.
The chimp.
All right, go ahead and play the second Bush clip, if you will. The second Bush clip. Same speech.
Some Democrats and anti-war critics are now claiming we manipulated the intelligence and misled the American people about why we went to war. It's perfectly legitimate to criticize my decision or the conduct of the war. It is deeply irresponsible to rewrite the history of how that war began.
It's deeply irresponsible.
Senate investigation found
it's deeply irresponsible
of how that war began. A bipartisan Senate investigation to rewrite the history. Deeply irresponsible.
He said it.
It is deeply irresponsible to rewrite the history of how that war began. A bipartisan Senate investigation found no evidence of political pressure to change the intelligence community's judgments related to Iraq's weapons programs.
All right, so let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, what a crock of shit to spout this crap on Veterans Day when here the W got AWOL.
Right,
he was AWOL
right.
from his own
same thing
National Guard duty.
TV.
And to say this on Veterans Day, what a load of crap that is. But our favorite senator, Edward Kennedy, he's a Democrat from Massachusetts, John. He quickly returned Bush's criticism.
Deeply regrettable that the president era is using Veterans Day as a campaign-like attempt to rebuild his own credibility by tearing down those who seek the truth about the clear manipulation of intelligence in the run-up to the Iraq war. Instead of providing open and honest answers about how we will achieve success in Iraq, John, and allow our troops to begin to come home, the president reverted to the same manipulation of facts to justify a war we never should have fought in the first place. G.D. Wright. And about that congressional investigation that Bush mentions?
Yeah.
That never freaking happened.
Right.
Never happened. He just pulls that out of his ass and he just says it like it happened. Never happened. What the hell's going on, John?
Well, you know, I just read in this little article, the Bush poll. Back in August, when President W. Bush crossed the Mendoza line with a disapproval rating in the Gallup poll of 56%, he still had four men left to pass for the title of most unpopular president in modern history. Jimmy Carter with 59%, George H.W. 60%, Richard Nixon with 66%, and Harry Truman with 67%.
Yeah, but his dad did it in one term, okay?
Right.
That's how big a fuck-up he was.
Right. Yeah, he could speed past Carter and Bush 41 within the next month, this guy thought would be possible, but he was wrong. It took the president 2 months. This week's Gallup poll puts his all-time list, disapproval at 60%, which means father and son share third place on the all-time list. Bush 43 has always said he learned an important political lesson from Bush 41, and now we know what it was. Don't hit bottom too early. If you're going to be the third most unpopular president, do it in your second term. So you have some time to stop and smell the rose garden.
No doubt, man.
Is it? But what cracks me up, and this is a funny part, he says, it's an awesome achievement for one family to produce two of the four most unpopular presidents in modern times. If there were a Mount Rushmore for the rejection
or failures,
the Bushes would have half the place to themselves.
No doubt.
So you wonder what they talk about at Thanksgiving.
They're so out of touch.
Hey, son, you're almost as bad as me.
No, and just think, we might have Jeb running for president. Won't that be great?
Well, how about the comeback kid?
Who's that?
Here's one Gallup poll finding that won't come up over Thanksgiving dinner at the First Family's Americans. Americans now say that by a 48-36% margin, that they trusted Bill Clinton more than they trust George Bush.
And Bill Clinton said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
With that woman.
Well, you gotta define is.
What is?
What is it mean?
Right.
Well, in all this criticism, so the president's getting all this criticism about his stupidity, right? And Here's what he says. He says the criticism has taken a toll on U.S. forces. Isn't that the biggest load of shit you've ever heard? What about sending U.S. forces over to Iraq to fight some fictional war? How about the toll that has taken on the U.S.
Right.
forces? Stupid ass. These baseless attacks send the wrong signal to our troops and to an enemy that is questioning America's will, Bush said. Our troops
fight a ruthless enemy determined to destroy our way of life. They deserve to know that their elected leaders who voted to send them to war continue to stand behind them. And our troops deserve to know that whatever our differences in Washington, our will is strong, John and Scott of Total Talk Nonsense. Our nation is united and will settle for nothing less than victory. All right, now, he keeps saying victory, victory this, victory that. What is victory?
Well, right.
Can somebody tell me what victory in that fucked up country is?
He even said on Matt Lauer that when he was asking him, you know, how do you know when we've won? Well, I don't think you'll ever know, is what Bush said.
Oh, that's great.
But and that was before
he's going to settle for nothing less
right.
than victory.
Well, Cheney said some of the most, let me tell you, how about that? Cheney said some of the most irresponsible comments have, of course, come from politicians who actually voted in favor of authorizing
based on your manipulated intelligence, you dickhead.
That's right. By talking about irresponsible comments, Cheney makes it seem that critics are welcoming insurgent bombs or inviting Saddam Hussein for dinner. But how outlandish, in fact, are these irresponsible claims by those who voted to authorize force?
I don't know how.
Well,
they're outlandish, John.
The most incendiary quote...
Good pronunciation.
Did I say it wrong?
No, that was great.
Administration and GOP committees can offer comes from Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. He says, the administration engaged in a pattern of manipulation of the facts as it made its case for invading Iraq. Reach charges debatable, but it's hardly the combustible, irresponsible speech Cheney suggests it is. Cheney is setting the bar for irresponsibility so low that any questions about pre-war intelligence can be dismissed.
Yeah, he's a cocksucker, isn't he?
Freaking Darth
Vader. Let me just summarize some of those things. They insisted that Saddam was somehow linked to 9/11.
Right.
All right.
Which you heard in that last speech by Bush.
It did not matter that Muhammad Atta never met with the Iraqis in Prague. It didn't matter that Mohammed al-Baradi, head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, was finding no evidence of the Iraqi nuclear weapons program. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Nuclear. None of that mattered to Cheney, the fuckface without peer in the realm, who warned of the reconstituted nuclear weapons program, promoted the non-existent Prague meeting, and went after legitimate critics.
We will not hesitate to discredit you.
Yeah.
Cheney told al-Baradi and Hans Blix, the other important UN expector. Al-Baradi recently won the Nobel Peace Prize, John. Did you know that?
Did you say expector?
Whatever. The president's recent speech conflates. What the hell does that mean? All sorts of terrorist incidents, neglecting that they are specific to their regions and have nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. Every bombing somehow becomes an attack on Western values. Hold on, John. The doorbell's ringing. Linging? Let me go get that. Hold on. Hey, man. What's happening? No doubt.
Hey, what's up, man?
I love how I have to keep walking after I open the door. But
come on back. Come on. Have a seat.
Have a seat, man. We're still talking about the W, but it's always great to have Phil McCracken Wickham with us.
Professional.
Hey, just get your headphones on, all right, man? We're in a different studio. All right, man. Just calm down. Just calm down.
Oh, my shoe. Oh, my cocksucker. All right. What's
all right,
up there,
then.
Phil?
So, I just,
did you say cocksucker, Phil?
Yeah, no, that was me. Oh. Just a couple more things before we get into Phil's news. I went out and saw on USA Today, a reader wrote in. And
really?
He said, we elected a president to exercise good, honest judgment for an President Clinton and Bush saw basically the same intelligent reports and all doubts regarding their authenticity, yet the two men responded differently. Clinton chose to consider the totality of the intelligence and apply economic sanctions and enforce
of the no-fly zone of the Kurdish territory in northern Iraq to contain Saddam Hussein when he was getting a blowjob in the oral. Bush chose to bypass doubts regarding the accuracy of the intelligence and invaded Iraq. Did I say evaded? Invaded Iraq. I believe President Bush's legacy is poor judgment and deceptions that led this country into a disastrous war. Clinton's legacy. He used good judgment and avoided war, and our teenagers are benefiting from all the oral sex. That's outstanding.
Not
now, John, and Phil, as long as you've shown up, here's what the U.S. of A is fighting for, okay? Can I give you a little taste of what we're fighting for over in Iraq? Let me go ahead and do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yusha Yans, a West London teen, fought off her father for a frantic 15 minutes. She ran from room to room in her family home on Saturday afternoon until he cornered her in a dingy bathroom, held her over
dingy.
The tub.
Did you say dingy bathroom?
I did say dingy. Hey, come on, this is serious.
Okay.
Let me start over. In a family home on Saturday afternoon until he cornered her in a dingy bathroom, held her head over the tub, and slit her throat, John.
Whoa, that's not nice.
The father, a one-time Kurdish freedom fighter from Iraq, told authorities that his only daughter had to die. Do you know why she had to die, John?
She touched an infidel.
Because she sullied the family name, he said, by dating without his permission. So she had to die. These are the types of people we're fighting for,
yeah,
John.
We're trying to make them a free nation.
Right, we're trying to give them democracy.
Here, here's the democratic thing to do. Just cut your daughter's throat.
Hutan Surakuu, mother of a five-year-old, stood at a bus stop near her home in Berlin after the brother phoned to arrange a meeting one night. The Turkish woman, 23 and divorced, was studying to be an electrician. She had arranged with her family over her choices, but was recently had told friends that she was hopeful for a reconciliation. Surakuu was holding a hot cup of coffee when bullets tore into her. Three of her four brothers, ages 18 to 25, were arrested even as her parents denied family involvement. When the murder trial opened, the youngest son said he alone slaughtered the sister who lacked morals values. John, violence in the name of honor, covering up as a private matter among unknown numbers of Pakistani, Kurdish, and Arab families has become increasingly troubling for the law enforcement working the streets in Britain, Germany, Sweden, and elsewhere. Honor killings claim an estimated 5,000 women worldwide, John. So this is the type of mentality that we're fighting for to give them their democracy.
Well, there is some good stuff that's going on there. And, you know, the soldiers think they're doing good.
Well, that's good.
And that's, you know, that keeps them alive, you know, man.
No doubt. No
and
doubt.
And believe me, we support our military. We should have a link to some sort of thing. Something.
A thing, yes. Yeah.
Did you hear what Rush Limbaugh did? Didn't we talk about that last week?
I don't think we did.
Rush Limbaugh donated. His big donation was you could give a subscription to one of the military as a gift. But you pay for the subscription, and that's the donation. There's,
right.
They don't get anything. Rush gets all the money, but you can donate the
you can
gift
adopt.
Of his
you
show.
You can adopt a soldier.
Adopt a soldier, that's it.
What a crock of shit, this Rush Limbaugh.
He's using the soldiers for his personal gain. What an a-hole.
Yeah, and Rush Limbaugh's a syndicated radio guy here, and he has a stupid-ass website. Do you know how much that fucking subscription costs?
$50.
That's discounted, okay?
Oh, that's right.
It's like $75.
Oh,
is that for a year? I hope it's for a year.
Well, you got to be really stupid to subscribe.
Yeah, and to say subscribe
to
like that.
Subscribe to that shit. Plus, or subscribe to, who's that other guy? Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Wacko Jobbo.
Oh, I brought a Bill O'Reilly clip in where he apologized. Well, he doesn't apologize for his San Francisco bullshit. He just says that it was
satire.
Yeah. Yeah, it was satire. When I said that they should nuke San Fran, I didn't It was just satire.
Yeah.
That's great.
Without question, Russian premier radio networks stand to make a tidy sum from his marketing effort. Let's suppose that just 100,000 of the 3 million member listening audience forks over $49.95 to participate in that program, which should be called the Rush Limbaugh's Exploit the Soldiers program. That comes out to about a sum of $5 million, subtracting the cost for paper and postage for 100,000 copies of the Rush Limbaugh letter. Makes only a slight dent. The profits are obviously quite large.
And if
that's fine. You want to make money, go ahead. But don't sit there and say you're supporting the soldiers and then use it as a marketing tool. What a dickhead.
Well, this guy's an OxyContin addict. I mean, we've talked about Rush before. He's got loser written across his forehead. If it wasn't for his father, he never would have gotten in radio. He was nothing in radio until he started becoming a GOP apologist. And then for whatever reason, the majority of the red states, the mental patients that are United States citizens, made him a radio star. And then he's just exploiting it as much as he can. And if I'm Rush Limbaugh, I'm doing the same damn thing. You know why, John?
Why is that?
Because Bush is over. It's over for Bush. There's nothing you can do or say on the radio that is going to brainwash people anymore because he's a chimp in office and everybody knows it. So if you're Rush Limbaugh, let's get the money while we can because what is my career is what? 6 months, a year left?
Right.
That's it. And I need to retire. And have you ever seen Rush Limbaugh and Karl Rove in the same room? Okay, then. There you go. Thank you very much.
I have not.
All right, then.
How's Phil doing?
Well, I'm just enchanted
by listening to you two gentlemen banter back and forth.
Let's give you your stuff.
Oh, for the news?
Yes.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. In the news today, it's bad when you get heckled while making a speech. It's worse when they're Tennessee hecklers. And it's even worse when you're the Vice President of the United States, John. Jeez. During Cheney's remarks, about a half dozen people protesting the war in Iraq yelled, "War! What is it good for?" and held up a large banner saying, "Peace now!" Cheney continued speaking and didn't acknowledge the protesters who were escorted from the ceremony inside the University of Tennessee's basketball arena. Next story. Drunk man in a golf cart transporting a keg of beer drives into the side of a campus police car. Multiple charges ensue. A man who was allegedly driving drunk and transporting an untapped keg crashed a stolen golf cart into a public safety vehicle at Oregon State University on Saturday night. The crash happened at 7:30 p.m. shortly after the football teams lost to Stanford. Ted Wayne Kravowski, 28, of Cox Butt Road in Junction City, was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence of intoxicants, unlawful use of a motor vehicle, and two counts of reckless engineering. He was cited and released at the Benton County Jail. The golf cart belonged to the OSU golf team, and Kravowski said he paid $20 to a college guy for it.
You son of a bitch.
Next story. Senate rejects timetable for Iraq withdrawal. Because we're going to be there forever, John.
I'm a Next cop, story. You idiot.
Coach responds to college drinking allegations. I knew about it. It's college, you dumb fucks. Of course there is underage drinking. Gopher men's hockey's coach Don Lucia.
Thomas Aquinas.
And six others, over 6 weeks this fall, recorded five players repeatedly drinking in Blarney Plub and Grill.
Good morning.
Dinky Town.
How are you?
Dinky Town.
The Plub?
The Plub.
How is the Plub?
In Dinky Town.
All right.
Dude, today, listen. Lucia released a statement saying, "I'm disappointed and concerned with the choices that some of our student-athletes made in connection with recent reports of underage drinking." He goes on, "This is an issue we take seriously and one that we will deal with internally." Next story.
Next story.
Police showing children the importance of gun safety by accidentally killing their teacher during show and tell.
What? Wait a minute. Come on.
A 40-year-old teacher
right.
died when a policeman's rifle went off in a freak accident during a Children's Day function in Madhya Pradesh. Reports reached here said Thursday.
Oh, my God.
Mahesh Kumar, a teacher with a government high school in Chhattisgarh, took the students off his school to the Kotwali police station of the district as part of a nationwide Children's Day celebration. The purpose of the visit was to acquaint the students with the working of the police force. While the policemen were showing their rifles to the students, a rifle accidentally went off, killing Kumar on the spot. I hope that's not Harold and Kumar went to White Castle. We have come to know that the police station in charge accidentally fired a shot that killed Mahesh Kumar. Action is being taken against the police officials, said a senior official.
Wow.
Next story. Man arrested. I'm sorry. Let me start over.
How does...
A naked man arrested after elevator
naked
fire.
Man.
A naked man warming himself by a fire set in a downtown Bellevue elevator is reportedly under observation at a hospital. The King County Journal reported security officers found a 22-year-old man in an elevator at the same newly opened Western Motel about 4:20 a.m. Sunday. One of the guards who responded to the fire alarm found the man naked and dancing around the flames. The guard grabbed the fire extinguisher and put out the fire. The naked man refused to cooperate and was taken to Overlake Hospital because medics believe he was under the influence of drugs.
Wow.
The naked man kept screaming, "I'm King Heedley, you bloody twat! TTN forever!" Well, so King Heedley, we hope you get out of that situation. Next story, Iraq's security forces staved the... Next story, 3, 2, 1. Iraqi security forces starve and torture detainees. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, John. Next story.
Next
when painting,
story.
Make sure the aluminum ladder you are on doesn't come in contact with any electrical wires. This is a PSA, John and Scott. Bel Air police said the man was killed and another injured after an aluminum ladder they were handling touched overhead power lines. Authorities said the 50-year-old... Robert Rakovinia of Dundian was electrocuted Monday as the men prepared to paint a three-story home. 39-year-old Joseph Ashikawashikawa was in serious condition last night at a Bayfront Medical Center. Next story. Mayoral candidate suggests using crack as an incentive to get addicts to do work for the city. A candidate in the mayoral race in Kelowna, B.C. suggests using crack to deal with the city's drug-addicted homeless people. Andrew Altavacat says crack should be used as a reward or incentive to motivate people to do construction work in the city, like picking up garbage. Once they've done their duties, he figures the addicts will feel so good about themselves they will not need the crack, or less of it. Next story. Former Boston Red Sox pitcher. Oh, I think I got a contact eye again. Oil can Boyd arrested for making threatening phone calls to his ex-girlfriend. Soon to find out that prison is the worst place to be nicknamed after a lubricant. Next story.
Run on 48 there, Phil.
Irish nursing home finds that by insulating a... Next story. Rapper DMX sentenced to 70 days in jail. Worries... Y'all be gone, making me toss yo salad up in here, up in here. Rapper DMX escaped a year's jail sentence in court on New York yesterday, but will still have to serve 70 days behind bars for violating his release conditions following a 2004 arrest after he pretended to be a federal agent and attempted to steal a car.
Damn.
Next story, Pat Robertson thinks that school homeschoolers should install metal detectors in their homes to prevent violence. Everyone else thinks that Pat Robertson needs to install reality detector in his brain. Next story. Man pulled over for driving without headlights. Jumps 80 feet off bridge into brackberry bushes. Brushes off dust and continues to evade police and pursue Sarah Connor.
So it was a Chinese guy? That's,
I don't know.
He went into a brackberry bush.
That's funny, John. A traffic stop in Portland turned into a foot chase, and police say they are still looking for the suspect who jumped off a bridge to the ground 80 feet below.
Hey,
police! Hey, I'm in the middle of a story, John. Police say a man who was pulled over for having his lights out bolted from his car jumped over the Ross Island Bridge, falling 80 feet into the thicket of blackberry bushes. When officers went down the embankment expecting the man to be dead, they looked through the bushes and saw the man move, but could not get him before he ran to an embankment and fled. in search of Sarah Connor.
Hey, what do you call a one-legged lady?
Irene.
No, that's a Chinese one-legged lady.
I don't know, John. What?
It's Eileen, you dumbass.
Irene. Yes.
No, that's a one-legged Chinese lady.
Eileen, yes.
Irene.
Of course.
Irene.
No doubt.
All right, that's all the time we have.
No, I have two more stories.
Oh, shit. Hurry up.
And this one is especially for TTN because you talk about cactus a lot. Man arrested for assaulting girlfriend with a cactus. A 20-year-old Sheboygan man was charged Thursday for alleging attacking his live-in girlfriend Wednesday night with a cactus plant and biting her, leaving her covered in blood. I thought I'd seen everything but a cactus beating and sticking up the yazoo, said Sheriff Calvin County District Joe DeCacco. I guess it's the thing that was closest at hand. Nate Radzicki was charged with felony, substantial battery, and misdemeanor disorderly conduct. He faces almost a decade behind bars for allegedly beating his girlfriend with a cactus.
Did he say yazoo?
Yazoo. Nathaniel went psycho. He acted like he was possessed, like he was the devil. Resistance girlfriend told police, according to the complaints.
Oh, shit.
And the last story tonight, John. Police arrest man for having improper sexual relations with a store mannequin.
What?
It is unclear whether or not the mannequin gave her consent. Well, I have a question about this story, John and Scott. Police arrest a man for having improper sexual relations with a store mannequin, which infers that there are proper sexual relations that you can have with a store mannequin.
Oh, man.
A Sioux Falls man is being charged with indecent exposure.
Sioux?
Yeah,
Sioux Falls. Falls.
Oh, that's funny, John. Hey, man, Phil, get it together. I'm trying, Scott. That was very funny, John. I'm still laughing about that. All right, let me... A Sioux Falls man is being charged with indecent exposure after he was found with his pants and underwear down and lying on the floor with a female mannequin in the Washington Pavilion. Michael James Plenty Horse, 18, was discovered at 4:35 Wagon with
That's
security.
A lie. You're making
I'm
it
not
up.
Making it up, John. This is from Reuters. Rutgers.
Reuters.
A Sioux Falls police officer said,
"No, Sioux.
There
Sioux
was there was inappropriate sexual contact
what
between
the hell's wrong with you?
Him and the mannequin. That's the only way I know how to put it."
Is there appropriate contact?
I guess so.
It was inappropriate, but there is appropriate contact.
Security at the pavilion say they have previously noticed the same mannequin undressed on several occasions. So far, no drugs or alcohol appear to have been involved, and it is unclear whether or not the mannequin gave her consent. And that's the news, John and Scott. I'm AKC. No, I'm not. I'm Phil McCracken Wincombe with AKC Total Talk Nonsense.
Holy
shit. Signing out.
All right. Thanks, Phil, for coming again. Oh, shit. Unfortunately, we don't have time for anything else, man. We got to get the hell out of here.
Except to say, vote for us on Podcast Alley, answer the question, and
right.
receive a prize. Get details at our homepage. What else, John?
Oh,
somebody asked you about the song in episode 28,
yeah.
part 3. Do you know what that song is?
No.
All right. When John finds out what that is,
he
will post
that.
Yeah,
I'll give it to him. Definitely.
And also, this may be my last podcast episode 30.
What?
Well, I have to go home now and face the lovely wife.
Oh, it'll be fine.
We'll see.
It'll be fine, man.
All right, John, we'll have a happy Thanksgiving, and Phil, have a great Thanksgiving. I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'll see you after the holidays for episode 31.
All right, take care, man.
Well, thank you, Scott, and thank you, John. It's always a pleasure to come and do the news. I'm going to leave now. I'm going. All right, I'm at the door. Oh, it's a great studio, by the way.
All right, thanks.
All right, man. That was hot.
All right, we're out of here.
Later.
Later.
You're listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.